No, I told you, Johnson.
You may proceed.
Good morning, may it please the court. My name is Michael Kernbach, and I represent the appellant Eddie R. Jones, Sr., in this claim for line-of-duty disability benefits. The issue before the court is relatively simple. It's a pure construction of the statute that entitles him to get line-of-duty disability benefits pursuant to the Line-of-Duty Disability Act. He is asking this court to, on the basis of the stipulations that were reached, reach the conclusion that he was an otherwise qualified firefighter who came down with throat cancer and is otherwise entitled to the act. And I'll go through the stipulations as to why this is important. The parties agreed that Mr. Jones was employed with the City of Hampton as a firefighter for a number of years, from 1977 to 2010. He took a service-connected retirement and was effectively separated from the fire department on August 1st, 2010. After his retirement, he developed throat cancer, which is a condition that is compensable under the Workers' Compensation Act pursuant to Code Section 65.2-402.
He is receiving a remedy under the Comp Act.
He is receiving a remedy under the Comp Act. He is.
Well, why should he receive a remedy under the Line of Duty Act when he's no longer in the line of duty? And there's no expectation he ever will be.
Well, because that's more of a political decision that's been made by the General Assembly to award him line of duty disability benefits if he's otherwise entitled to them.
Well, that's the conclusion you reach, but the statute says, as the condition as to prevent further performance of the duty, there is no further performance of his duty. He's in a non-duty, post-duty time frame. It seems like the political decision was made contrary to your view.
Well, we get to the fourth stipulation, which makes it almost a medical question as to whether or not he's disabled from further performance of duty. The fourth stipulation was that the parties agreed that the treating physician opined that Eddie R. Jones was incapacitated from further performance of duty as of November 6, 2013 as a firefighter. Now, the Act doesn't say that you have to still be employed as a firefighter, because you still get to make occupational disease claims under the Workers' Compensation Act for up to 5 years of the date that you were last exposed to the condition which led to the development of the occupational disease. And there's nothing in the code section itself that says what the comptroller said and what the circuit court judge agreed with, and that is that he still had to be employed as a firefighter at the time that he got sick. That language doesn't appear in the code section. He was disabled from further performance of duty as of November 6, 2013 as a firefighter. That's a stipulation that the parties reached.
And so the doctor gets to interpret what the expression in 9.1400 means?
It becomes a medical question as well as a legal question, and because both parties relied upon the opinion of a physician that he was disabled from further performance of duty as a firefighter, that meets the requirement of the Act. The Act doesn't require him to be working at the time that he gets sick, because he still had 5 years after he left employment from the fire department to get throat cancer under the Workers' Compensation Act. Now, one of the reasons that's important is because when you look at 9.1-401B, it says that if the person's disability occurred while in the line of duty or the direct or proximate result of the performance of his duty, or, number two, was subject to the provisions of certain code sections, including 65.2-402, and arose out of and within the scope of his employment, the disabled person or a surviving spouse gets the line of duty benefit. This is a benefit that is extremely important to Mr. Jones.
The definition of disabled person is the provision we're looking at, 400.
Exactly. And And I agree with the Commonwealth that the entire case turns on whether or not he was disabled from further performance of duty. What does that mean? It's not defined in the code section. The stipulation makes it a medical question that was reached by the treating physician in this case.
Doesn't it presuppose that there is some potential further performance of duty that exists for which we're asking the question, whether or not he's prevented from further performance of duty?
Well, you could ask that question, and it would be answered this way. Mr. Jones could have left the city of Hampton as a firefighter and gone to work at another fire department if he wanted to. But once he came down with throat cancer, Dr. Mattern said he was disabled from further performance. And within the record, in the appendix that's in there, the doctor told him to stay away from those environments that would contribute to the development or aggravation of the throat cancer.
Do the statutory amendments that have in the interim, do they play any role in our decision?
No, they don't.
Okay.
No, they don't. That's the short answer to that. That it dealt with moving. The Line of Duty Act moved from something that was administered by the Comptroller of the Commonwealth of Virginia to the Virginia Retirement System, but the basic tenets of whether or not you qualify for the benefits still remains the same.
What about the construction of the beginning of the definition of disabled person, where it says it means any individual who, as the direct or proximate result of the performance of his duty, has become mentally or physically incapacitated so as to prevent the further performance of his duty. I mean, that clearly means he was performing a duty.
Yeah, I don't believe that the Commonwealth will have any contention that he wasn't as a direct or proximate result of the performance of duty that he became mentally or physically incapacitated. I mean, we agree that getting throat cancer is something that physically incapacitated him as a direct or proximate result of his work as a firefighter. That's not this case. The case turns on the phrase, as Justice Kelsey has picked up on here, and that is further performance of duty. That's what we're struggling with here.
So the whole case that turns on, does that presuppose the potentiality or the actuality of a further performance, or does it really not mean much of anything because it's all retrospective?
It's probably a little bit of both. And the reason that it's a little bit of both is because it gets right back to the stipulation that the parties reached here in this case, that the doctor incapacitated him for an odd date. All right, we know he retired from the fire department on August 1st, 2010. He had until July 30th of 2015 to come down with an occupational disease pursuant to the Workers' Compensation Act. He got sick on March 11th, 2011, but the doctor found him physically incapacitated from further performance of duty as of November 6th, 2013.
But doesn't the analogy to the Comp Act lean against you? Because it's very clear from the Comp Act, as you, I think, correctly interpreted, that you have these post-separation capacities to receive benefits. You don't see any of that, at least I don't see any of that, in the Line of Duty Act.
You don't see it in the Line of Duty Act because it's a matter of construction and how the General Assembly assembled the language in creating the Line of Duty Act. But by putting in the reference to occupational diseases pursuant to 65.2-402, they meant that firefighters and police officers who come down with these occupational diseases can reach out and try to obtain this benefit if they otherwise qualify for the benefit for the free health insurance, which is what we're talking about here. He has workers' compensation coverage for the throat cancer, but he's trying to get affordable health insurance, or actually free health insurance, from the Commonwealth of Virginia pursuant to the Line of Duty Act. And so
he's getting lifetime medical benefits.
He's getting lifetime medical benefits for throat cancer alone.
So the putting aside the legalities of this, he's the goal at the end is to get health insurance for matters outside the comp med benefits package. So it would be, I don't know, dental or whatever else that has something other to do with the comp claim.
Yes, what he's trying to do is get, to put it bluntly, he's trying to get the sub-health plan that all employees of the Commonwealth of Virginia enjoy, this Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield Gold Anthem plan, whatever it is, and it's paid for by the Commonwealth of Virginia as a consequence of him coming down with this line of duty infirmity of throat cancer.
But the big picture is that nothing we do or don't do is going to eliminate the present obligation of the Commonwealth to take care of him for the throat cancer and all the meds and all the doctors and all the prescriptions and hospital bills and everything else.
Well, the city of Hampton has to pick up the tab for the throat cancer.
Okay.
Under their workers' compensation enactments there.
I misspoke, thank you. So, yeah. But the point remains the same though, right?
The point remains the same.
Okay.
Under the statute, is the insurance provider for the rest of his life? Is that how it works?
Under the old statute, he gets it for the rest of his life. Under the new statute, he only gets it until he becomes Medicare eligible at age 65. Then he has to pick up a tab for what they call a Medigap policy pursuant to the Commonwealth of Virginia. But in the end, the entire case turns on what this phrase means, further performance of duty. The Commonwealth says that you need to be still employed as a firefighter when you get sick in order to get this benefit. The application has to be submitted before you actually have gotten sick or contemporaneous with getting sick. We take the position that since he was covered for 5 years afterwards, the further performance of duty becomes a medical question, which is answered by the fourth stipulation in the record before the court.
But the point I was trying to make was not the one you understood me to make, but is exactly that, which is that doesn't the former performance of the duty in that statute refer to the employment duty that results in the incapacity?
We don't know the answer to that. We take the position that it does not.
So does it matter to your analysis if he left employment with the state, private employment, then found the...
It does not matter. If he got sick and he was still within that five-year period after he left the city of Hampton, we take the position that he could reach out and obtain this benefit because it's a disease covered under 65.2-402. And because the doctor told us by way of the stipulation that as of November 6, 2013, he was incapacitated from further performance of duty. That's what we stipulated to, and that's the fact before the court. If there's no other questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
All right.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Don Ferguson, Senior Assistant Attorney General, representing the Comptroller in this matter. Comptroller agrees that the key issue is whether once a person takes service retirement, he or she has any further duty to perform in order to benefit from continued health care insurance under the Virginia Line of Duty Act. The Comptroller submits that he does not have that. He does not qualify. He does not qualify as a disabled person. I believe counsel has conflated the causation that is an element of proving a claim under the Virginia Line of Duty Act with provisions and protections under the Workers' Compensation Act. There are two basic benefits that are provided under LODA. One being continued health care benefits. Two being, if a person dies, a lump sum payment. That lump sum payment can be either a larger amount, $75,000, or a smaller amount, $25,000. If it's a direct and proximate death, the beneficiaries get the larger amount. if you have to resort to what we call the presumptive clauses to determine the cause of death, the payout is lower. And that same rule applies when proving causation of the disability. If a fireman is injured in a fire, if he falls off a truck and is injured and incapacitated, that is a direct and proximate causation that is easily provable. However, if the fireman is subject to hazardous conditions that may later lead to an occupational disease, those conditions aren't as obvious. But the Line of Duty Act incorporates part of the Workers' Compensation Act, which defines certain occupational diseases and gives those people covered by that act coverage under a presumption that your work activities, your duties.
So if the firefighter is smoking for 30 years and yet he's also inhaling fumes for 30 years as a firefighter, the presumption kicks in?
The presumption kicks in.
Okay.
It is a rebuttable presumption, but initially the worker gets the presumption that it was work-related.
How do you respond to the five-year period argument?
The five-year period argument, even in workers' compensation cases, there is no five-year look-back once a person separates from service. Even under a Workers' Compensation Act case, the five-year look-back is only effective through operation of Section 406 of the Workers' Compensation Act. Section 406 specifically was not incorporated as part of the Virginia Line of Duty Act. Only Section 402 was incorporated. Section 402 outlines the occupational diseases, including respiratory disease, heart disease, and cancers. But at no point is there any limitation, discussion of a limitation period or a look-back period once a person separates. If you look at both the Virginia Line of Duty Act and Section 402 of the Workers' Comp Act, you will note that the term firefighter is mentioned six times. All of those are in the present tense. At no point do either of these statutes discuss or raise the term ex-firefighter, former firefighter, or retired firefighter. There is no contemplation in those statutes that a person might separate and end his or her service. And that gets us back to the definition. If you have no further duties to perform, you are not a disabled person under Virginia Line of Duty Act. As to the stipulation regarding the doctor's opinion that Mr. Jones was disabled, that stipulation only reiterates what the written opinion stated. It was the doctor's opinion that he was incapacitated. However, that does not rise to the level of binding this court or any court to determine that he was, in fact, a disabled person as defined by the Virginia Line of Duty Act. Moreover, since Mr. Jones has retired and now has a condition that is an occupational disease, he could not qualify for a new position, so he would not have any further duties under a new position in another fire department or police department or whatever department is covered by the Line of Duty Act. One of the requirements to benefit from a presumptive clause action is that the person must undergo a pre-employment physical showing that he or she is free and clear of any of those diseases listed. Since Mr. Jones now has that disease, he could not get a second job that is covered by the Line of Duty Act.
So the symmetry you're pointing out is that the 400 definition not only presupposes further work, but also presupposes he can't do further work or he wouldn't even be in this category to begin with.
Correct. And if the department hired him despite the pre-employment physical, showing that he had a pre-existing condition, and it later manifested itself again in a more aggressive way, he wouldn't be able to benefit from that presumptive causation clause. He basically waived his right to do that. Counsel also did not discuss the difference between the look-back provision that is provided in the Line of Duty Act for death cases that arise. In the case of death, the Virginia Line of Duty Act has its own separate look-back provision. And that says if a person dies within 5 years of retirement, you can look back and deem that to be service-connected. There was no similar provision for disability cases. Now, the General Assembly was well aware of the necessity to somehow sometimes have a look-back provision when it incorporated provisions under Workers' Comp Act into the Line of Duty Act. Again, the Workers' Compensation Act has its own separate look-back provision, and it was in existence at the time that it was incorporated into the Virginia Line of Duty Act. But that particular look-back provision, which only applies to Workers' Comp, was not incorporated or copied for disability cases that arise under the Line of Duty Act. Since Jones cannot demonstrate that he is a disabled person under the Act, we believe that the Circuit Court decision affirming the Comptroller's ruling that a non-fatal post-retirement disease is not compensable under the Virginia Line of Duty Act. We would ask that the Circuit Court ruling be affirmed.
Thank you very much. Rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor. The stipulation has its support under page 74 of the record. That's where the doctor's report indicates that Mr. Jones is disabled from further performance of duty. So you've got both the medical report in the record as well as the stipulation. Let me address myself to the ability of Mr. Jones to work as a firefighter after he retired. Before he got sick in March of 2011, he could have taken another job at a fire department and continued to work in a different retirement system as a firefighter, say, for the city of Norfolk or Arlington or Alexandria, any one of the different retirement systems. Once he got sick, the statutory provisions began rolling in a sense that he became a disabled person under the Act, and he could reach back. I understand the condition of the look-back provisions that the Commonwealth talks about for death cases, but that's not the same in this case. He was a disabled firefighter. He was otherwise capable of working as a firefighter and became disabled because of the throat cancer. And because the code section is silent as to what that phrase means, further performance of duty, I believe it's governed by the stipulations as well as the medical report that's in the record before the court. If there's no other questions, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Call the next case.